You're listening to I Dream and Plot Points, a story-driven immersive experience. Headphones are recommended. At the water's edge. A mythical fantasy, where enemies form an alliance to embark on an arduous quest, only to find much more than they bargained for. Please enjoy this episode of At the Water's Edge.
All the discarded doubloons now gathered, the mermaid bided her time stacking the gold coins in towers of varying heights.
At the counting house I would do just that. Castles built from coins.
She looked up to see the knight leaning against the trunk of the tree, observing her. In his time away, the clothes he wore were now dry and he no longer had the parcels he had left with.
Why have you come back?
Why haven't you gone back?
I told you I don't want to.
So, your plan is to stay here and sulk?
There's tadpoles and hyacinths to eat. I can stay a good long while.
Won't your disapproving sister come to investigate?
I blocked the underwater tunnel I transported you through.
You dragged me through an underwater tunnel?
Yes, and once I had you landed, I pushed a rock to cover the entry to give you time to regain consciousness.
But if there were no urgency, why did you act as though there were?
Because I've been waiting long enough.
He shook his head as he sat down and began his own stack of coins.
Where are all your things?
My inherited items? Someplace safe.
Away from me?
She arranged more coins and he continued to participate by placing a coin on the stacks.
Why are you sitting with me?
I know I should not be. If I've learned anything by now, it's that you and your kind are nothing but trouble.
You don't know me.
And yet I know that much.
He set his sights on his work, adding more coins to his tidy tower.
If you're going to continue to annoy me, I would rather you did leave.
Her complaint was met with a frowning tisk-tisk.
Now who has the temper?
She exhaled with disdain.
Would you like to take these with us so you have something to occupy you, or can we leave them to the depths?
With us?
I told you there was no need for tears, didn't I? Come along now.
But how will I?
I scouted ahead and set my things down to make camp near a small pond. It's not too far, if you think you can last.
Yes, yes, please.
Allow me to fetch you a wrap.
He picked up the clothes and cloak he had been wearing when he had first emerged from the Forest of Darkness.
Donning this might make your journey more manageable.
But once turned around, she had disappeared.
Maya? Maya? Where have you gone?
She resurfaced wearing a large charm on a chain around her neck.
Ready.
He dipped his coat that still lingered with dampness into the water. Kneeling down to cover her shoulders with the soaked fabric, he spoke sweetly to her.
All right, miss. One more deep breath and up you come into my arms.
She sunk under and he waited as little bubbles danced their way to the surface. Emerging and gripping his arms, he pulled her up and into them, cradling her as he stood to his feet.
Off we go.
The sun had set behind the tall trees, and the ever-growing blackness was being kept at bay by the small but robust flames of the campfire. The mermaid had watched with great interest as the night had created light and warmth from fractured twigs and dried leaves. Though it had not been too great a distance from the lake she called home, both her excitement for exploration and anxiousness at leaving her family had been overwhelming. Only after a few paces into the clearing, her reluctant companion had been forced to sprint the rest of the way in order to plunge her gills under water so she would not expire. They had spoken hardly a word since arriving at the small pond, aside from his cursing and griping telling her to concentrate on regaining her composure. The flame crackled and he scoffed at her involuntary cringe.
"For one with no legs, you certainly are jumpy."
"Will you tell me now?"
He did not look up as he dutifully tended to the sparks.
"Tell you what?"
"The story of why you can sympathize with my angst, as you called it."
He adjusted the heavy coat that covered his shoulders, his hand then grazing the row of decorative brass buttons and wincing slightly at the heat they had absorbed.
"I suppose campfires lend themselves to storytelling."
"They do."
"They do where I come from."
He crossed and propped his feet on a long since fallen log before reclining fully and looking up at the sky.
"The words you said about wanting to see beyond the trees. It reminded me of what spurred me on my path that eventually led to me joining the ill-fated voyage. Your words of lament of how nothing ever changes also harkened back to when I was so bored with my days in the counting house. Day in, day out, always the same. So, what did I do?"
"You decided you wanted to become a sailor."
"Have I the look of a sailor?"
"Yes."
He looked down, remembering he was still wearing his deceased captain's clothes.
"Current vestments aside, no. And it's bad manners to interrupt."
"But you asked me."
The question was rhetorical.
"I don't know what that word means."
"It means be quiet and your questions will be answered."
He sighed and folded his spare coat to rest under his head as he still gazed upward.
"As different as you and I are, we both long for adventure but go about seeking it in very clumsy ways."
She waited for him to continue, but the sound of his breathing had changed.
"Thomas?"
He gave no answer.
"Thomas?"
She used her fingers to flick water and the fire gave a loud response, waking him. He sat up with a start, nearly rolling into the embers.
"What do you think you're doing?"
"You were going to tell me a story, but you fell asleep."
"I was merely resting my eyes."
"You were practically snoring."
"I don't snore, and I don't tell stories to those who cannot keep their mouths shut."
He angrily adjusted his makeshift bed of extra clothes and laid on his side, facing away from the fire and her.
"Tell me of your family."
"There's nothing to tell."
"I would still like to hear."
"They matter not."
"Have you brothers or sisters?"
"None to my knowledge."
"I don't understand."
"I did not know my parents, therefore, I am not aware of any possible siblings."
"Is that the way of humans like with snakes?"
He rolled to his stomach and faced her with a scornful scowl.
"Snakes?"
"The mother snake abandons her eggs after laying, and the little ones are left to fend for themselves. I learned that by watching a ferocious bird with great talons wreak havoc on an unsuspecting clutch.
Humans are not like snakes.
Then what are the ways of humans?
We certainly aren't hatched like a slimy reptile.
Her eyes grew wide as soon as the words had left his mouth.
I am not a reptile and I am not slimy.
Calm your gills.
You think me slimy?
Slippery, yes, but not slimy. So, I apologize.
Rather than apologize, you can tell me of your family.
He mumbled something under his breath.
What did you just say?
I said all right.
He propped up his head on his fist and yawned.
I had a mother and father, obviously. You need both in order to propagate. But I have no memory of them. My memories begin in an orphanage.
He held up his hand before she could ask.
It's a place where there were other children of similar circumstance. There were adults there to care for us, but compassion was not their forte. I should say rather their assignment was to keep us alive, and they sometimes failed even at that. I hated the place. When I was still fairly young, I was told I would be joining a family. I was very excited. The thought of having my very own family and no longer having to fight for food or cow at every barked order. I'd never left the grounds of the commune before. I couldn't wait to see what was beyond the tall trees that masked the outer walls. Of the few who had tried to look beyond, either did not succeed at all or were caught and dealt with harshly. But I was leaving through the front gate, not only leaving, but I would be traveling by carriage. It seemed a dream. I could hardly contain myself as the large estate came into view. I had never seen such a place before. I thought it was a castle. Had I been adopted by the king himself? But I was young and foolish. It was not a castle. It was the home of an exorbitantly wealthy family who had purchased me to assist the scullery maids and stable hands. By joining, they meant the staff. I would be at the family's beck and call. Essentially, a slave toiling under the orders of masters with no compensation apart from food and shelter. How does one quantify misery? This new place had better food and plenty of it, but the punishments were worse. There were simply too many of us at the orphanage to be handled, and one could at times slip by. But at the new place my errors were obvious. There was no one else to push the blame onto. I learned quite quickly what needed to be done and how to properly do it to avoid penalties. Aside from lack of food and other necessities I had been deprived of in my young life, I had also been starved of knowledge of any sort. While I fattened my belly, I made it a habit to attempt to glean what I could of etiquette and education by eavesdropping on the eldest son's home studies. He was to be sent off to boarding school and learn the ways of finance, but it was years before that was to occur. He and I were quite close in age, and an unexpected friendship began to blossom. Instead of merely listening in, he would tutor me in whatever he happened to be learning on a given day. This was always done in secret. It would not do at all to have the master's son actually befriending the help. The years went on, and when the time finally came for him to go, I was tasked with accompanying him on the long carriage ride to the school. After all, someone had to load the luggage and man the horses. Are there horses in this land?
I do not know what carriage nor horses are, but I did not want to interrupt.
Carriages are what people sit upon, and horses are what move them.
He let out another yawn and rested his chin on his folded arms.
So, away we went to the school.
His voice trailed off, and the mermaid waited impatiently as he traced patterns in the dirt with his finger.
Why have you stopped again?
I just realized I've never really told anyone any of this.
He looked into her warm eyes that were set aglow by the fading fire. He took a breath and continued.
Along the journey, he told me of the astonishing scheme he had been plotting. He had no intention to spend one day in the school. He knew of a harbor where any able-bodied man could easily join a crew and set sail for untold adventures.
The mermaid nibbled on a sprig of watercress as she listened intently.
It was too wonderful the way he described it. A life filled with adventure. It sounded even more thrilling that it would happen while being at the side of my only friend. And that's when he revealed the other part of his plan. That I attend school in his stead.
What?
The word I shouted exactly to him. He was thoroughly convinced that even aboard a ship and out to sea, his family was of such means and prominence that were his father to discover his disobedience, there was not a corner of the world where he could hide from his rage. And so, the only way he could escape would be if it was thought he'd never escaped at all.
She gulped on her late-night snack.
You've nearly eaten your weight in that greenery.
Watercress. Have some?
None for me. If I never have cabbage soup and watercress salad again, it will be too soon. They would say to us at the orphanage, who needs bread when you have watercress? I do. I need bread.
He chewed on one of the mushrooms he had harvested during the daylight hours.
Hopefully, I remembered correctly which of these are safe to eat. If only I could stumble across some mint leaves to attempt tea. What I wouldn't give for a hot cuppa and a biscuit.
He closed his eyes at the thought, looking almost content.
Go on. The boy wanted you to attend school in his stead.
Yes, right. As our destination neared, we switched clothes and when we arrived at the gates, I became the overprivileged brat and he was the loyal valet. He bid me good luck and I never saw him again.
Never?
No. I lived moment to moment in fear that I would be found out. Then day to day. Then week to week. But I muddled through and years later, I was graduating. My stomach was in knots for graduation. All the students' families had descended onto the grounds for the ceremony. His parents had not paid any visits at any time. However, we had been keeping up regular written correspondence. I wrote detailed letters of the goings-on and the progress of my studies, all the while impersonating their son. In the crowd that had gathered for the big day, I spotted them. I strongly considered running away, but I wanted my sheepskin. I had worked so hard for it, and with it came the promise of employment in a faraway village. If I could just hold on to my courage until it was in my grasp. The alias I had assumed for so long was called, and I was handed what I had studied for by candlelight night in and night out. I desperately hoped I could melt into the masses, but the pair made directly for me. The father greeted me with a stiff punch on the shoulder whereas the mother embraced me. It was the first true embrace I had ever felt. They were proud.
I'm confused. How could they not see you were not their son?
I was more of a son than that ungrateful spoiled brat ever was. Besides, it had been years since they had seen him, foregoing the unpleasant witnessing of adolescence. It was simply expected that one would change a great deal in appearance and voice. So, not a question did they raise. And then off I went, to that village, to the counting house.
And then you became a knight.
There was a long pause before he spoke again.
Yes? Yes, that came next.
How?
We really should be sleeping.
How does one go from stacking coins to slaying dragons?
He snorted and then laughed heartily.
You show your ignorance yet again. There's no such thing as dragons.
Mia said the old man with the long beard from your party said you were a mighty knight that had slayed many a dragon.
And I tell you that grizzled git would say anything to save his own skin. He was not only crazy but a liar as well. Now time for bed.
You said you were bored of counting coins.
Yes.
So, you sought adventure by becoming a knight.
He plucked a handful of watercress and gnashed it in his teeth, his eyes darting about.
The taste is as familiar as it is repulsive.
He turned his head and spat leaves into the fire.
The counting house to a knight. You ask how I accomplished such a transition. Being a knight seemed an exciting occupation, especially in comparison to my daily toil. Aside from rescuing damsels and gallivanting about in glinting armor, knights are known for bashing each other about by jousting. Do you know of jousting? Of course, you wouldn't. Don't worry your little head, it's of no importance. I began jousting in the hopes that if I participated in knight-adjacent activities, a knight I could become. But there is something else one needs besides skill. A proper bloodline. A bloodline of which I have not. So I lied. Forged papers I needed to become what I wanted. Abandoned my assumed name and used my true first name along with the surname I had heard around the stables. But it turns out knighthood is something taken quite seriously, and pedigrees are very closely scrutinized, and so when I felt my secret being very close to being found out, I stowed away on the first ship I could find and then bartered my services for safe passage. Thus, concludes story time. Good night.
He scooped a handful of water to douse the flames and laid down, promptly shutting his eyes.
Thank you for sharing your story with me, Thomas. What name had you at school?
I've left that name behind me.
May I know it, please?
If you let me sleep, I'll tell you in the morning.
He turned his head to see her sink deeper into the pond and lay just beneath the surface. He was just about to fall asleep when he heard the movement of water.
Thomas?
What now?
I'm excited for our adventure.
He gave a slight smile that he did not let her see.
I've a long day of carrying you ahead of me and it's going to be all the more taxing after the bale of watercress you've consumed. Now no more talking.
He heard the water move and then settle.
Such a troublemaker.
He mumbled as he turned, curling under his coat and the night sky hoping to finally rest. With his supplies on his back and the mermaid in his arms, the former counting house clerk journeyed onwards.
Just a bit farther there's a stream. Can you hear it?
She nodded as she held her breath and held herself closer to him.
Almost there.
The stream came into view, and she patted him on the chest excitedly.
I know. In you go.
He set her down and the gentle waters lapped around her. She laid back and stretched, trying to absorb as much as she could.
I suppose this is where we make camp.
She rolled in the clear, cool stream and breathed deeply through her gills. He took his pack from his shoulder and knelt to cup his hands for a drink. She flicked her fingertips at him, playfully.
Stop that. You're the one who wants to be wet, not me.
She smiled and laid back again, letting the water rush over her.
Silly.
Do I look silly?
No. You look adorable.
Why have you not kissed me again?
Is that a serious question?
You promised, you know.
To kiss you?
No, to tell me the name you had in school.
I think you need to soak a bit longer. Your mind is discombobulated and you're talking nonsense.
You said if I let you sleep you would tell me in the morning. But it's long past morning now.
He leaned and lightly pressed his lips to hers before quickly standing up.
Is that all?
Yes, that's all you get. Just a small one. Don't need you going into shock from excitement.
He began to unpack his bag.
I'm sorry I'm so heavy. We're moving so slowly. If only I had lungs that worked.
Legs would not be detrimental either.
Would you like me better with legs?
Now you are being silly.
She turned and laid on her side to see him better.
May I have a real one?
A real what?
A real kiss.
Or I could tell you my schoolboy name.
Yes. Yes, tell me.
She clapped her hands and nodded.
My assumed name was Mortimer. Mort for short.
She burst out laughing.
Giggling? Giggling about silly studious stuffy Mortimer the Fifth.
He teased as he peppered her face with kisses.
Haven't you any idea who my father is?
No.
That makes two of us.
He laughed at his own joke, and she became quiet.
Come now. That was funny. It's just a bit of humor at my expense. Stow that pouty lip of yours.
I'm sorry you were alone for so long.
What's past is past. Speaking of passing, so has another day. It will be getting dark soon, but it should be less so with the first night of the full moon.
She gasped and grabbed his arm.
The elixir.
The what?
The elixir. The old man, when he was trying to bargain with Mia and the others. He said that he had a magic elixir that could grant our deepest desires.
The old man, as you call him, fancied himself a potion maker and was certifiably insane.
You don't believe in magic?
No. I never have before.
She clutched the charm that hung by a chain around her neck.
This bottle. It holds the elixir.
May I see it?
She lifted the necklace over her head and handed it to him. He uncorked the small vessel and sniffed the contents.
Good Lord, this is not magic. This reeks of spirits.
Spirits are magical.
Spirits as in alcohol.
She blinked, not understanding his meaning.
Maya, he was lying to save himself.
He put the stopper back on.
I still want to try it.
If you so believed his story, then why did you not just drink it down then and there? And make your wish?
Because the moon was not yet full. He said the moon must be full for the magic to work.
Do you hear yourself? An elixir that only works under the light of a full moon. It's preposterous.
She traced a finger over the smooth pebbles.
Also, I waited because I was scared to do it alone.
He dipped his hand under the water and entwined his fingers with hers.
I need to collect wood for another fire. But before I go,
he pulled her into another kiss her tail splashing in delight.
You stay put. And when I return, we can continue discussing the merits of potions.
He slipped the bottle and chain over his own neck and ventured off to collect kindling. Darkness had fallen, but it was brightened by the fullness of the new moon.
The moon has been out for hours. Can't we try now?
I said we would discuss it, not that you could.
It's my potion.
Since it is now around my neck, I have possession of it. Which means I am its custodian. Which means I will decide if and when it will be used. Furthermore, the potion was not yours. You stole it.
I did not steal it. The old man offered it.
In exchange for his life. We see how well that turned out.
Give me the potion.
No.
Thomas, you give that potion or I'll never kiss you again.
I wager I could last it out longer than you could manage.
I need the moonlight for the wish to work. Please.
What is this vital wish that has you in such a tizzy?
I want to wish for legs and proper breathing so I can walk under my own power.
Well, in that case, absolutely not.
Thomas.
Haven't I gotten us this far?
But it's taking us ages.
Then perhaps you should have resuscitated one of the other brutes to meet your needs more expeditiously.
But they
put up too much of a fight. Yes, you told me. Serves you right choosing the meekest of the flock. You'll just have to learn patience.
I don't want to be patient. I want to walk.
Petulant whining is quite unattractive.
You say I stole the potion when really it's you who stole it from me.
Would that I did. It was for your own good.
You and I both want the same thing. To get to the ocean. This will accomplish that in quick time.
If you wish yourself to have legs and to breathe as a human, then you will be human, and then what purpose would you have in getting to the ocean?
I'll wish to have legs and proper breathing only until I reach the ocean. At such time I want to once again become a mermaid.
That is not the way of magic.
You do not believe in magic at all, thus your opinion matters not.
Why don't you use that mouth of yours for something useful and devour more of that vegetation?
Do not tell me what to do.
Finish your tadpoles and hyacinth.
Sweet flag.
What?
There are no tadpoles here and this plant is sweet flag.
Whatever it is, eat up. You'll need your strength for walking around on two legs.
She chewed on the flora. As he ate more of the berries, he was able to forage.
You don't think the elixir will work?
It's foolish to pin your hopes to the ravings of a lunatic.
How can you call him that when he was your friend?
He wasn't a friend, he was barely an acquaintance. The crew kept him locked in the brig.
The brig?
The prison on the ship. He was being sent off on conviction of being a heretic.
What is?
It's not good. It turns out the ship I was aboard was a most motley crew indeed. Not too far into the journey, he convinced one of the mates to let him loose, and he soon captivated the minds of the others to steer the ship towards this awful place.
Do you think the elixir is dangerous?
Yes, I do, in fact. It could be poison for all we know. I was willing to go along with this little game hoping you would come to your senses. But now it seems I need to put my foot down.
She looked at his feet in confusion.
It's an expression and it means no.
She crossed her arms and glared at him.
That's a very persuasive pout, but it's of no use. Here, have some berries.
He held out a handful of berries, and she smacked it away, sending the fruit flying. He tutted and took her hands.
Was that a nice thing to do? Was it?
She scowled at him as he plucked more green blades and placed them in her hand.
Eat your dinner, you naughty thing.
She begrudgingly chewed.
What's naughty?
You.
I only did what you did with the doubloons.
Yes, well, I'm a very naughty boy.
He exhaled and settled by the fire to eat more berries.
I just want to help.
You remaining alive would be a great help.
I don't want to be a burden.
Why the sudden concern, you pestering brat?
She lay down, turning her back to him. His hand caressed her shoulder.
Maya.
What?
Will you look at me?
No.
So stubborn.
He rubbed his palm up and down the length of her arm.
You will not look, and you do not see how important you are to me.
She peeked at him over her shoulder to see him uncork the small bottle and put it to his lips.
Thomas, no.
He cringed and coughed at the taste.
What have you done?
She reached out her arms and snatched the chain from around his neck as he hunched over.
That was mine.
That's the thanks I get for saving you from yourself.
What did you wish for?
If I say it, it won't come true.
Now you're the one inventing things.
She shook the small bottle near her ear.
Some still remains.
Do not make my noble act worthless.
How do you feel?
Fine. Fine aside from the horrid taste.
Did your wish come true?
I don't know. I suppose we should go test it.
He stood and grabbed a large dead piece of wood, setting it ablaze.
What are you doing?
Fashioning a torch. Come along.
Where are we going?
When I was collecting kindling, I also scouted for your next aquatic oasis. There's a lake just beyond the pasture.
A lake, but why?
I wished I could swim.
You wished you could swim? You can't swim.
Don't you giggle at me. I don't laugh at you because you can't walk.
But that's a silly thing to wish for. I could teach you.
If this potion does its job, it won't be necessary.
He lifted her up in his arms.
Put out the flames.
She wrung out her hair, dousing the fire. He situated her slippery form.
Now I'm fairly certain it was this way.
You're not sure?
It was daylight when I found it. Slippery, slimy.
I'm not slimy.
It's rather difficult to carry you and hold a lit torch aloft. I need to put you on my shoulder. Don't fuss as you did the first time.
He set the branch in a knothole of a tree.
Don't.
You should be holding your breath. Over you go.
Yeah.
Behave yourself.
He hefted her over his shoulder and locked his arm across the bend of her fin.
Much better.
He picked up the self-made torch and held it up and out in front. He weaved through dark and tangle of densely grown trees.
We are very close now. I recognize the break in the trees up ahead. You all right?
Now I know I look silly.
Wait until you see me try to swim.
He hurried his feet to move them to the water faster.
Thank you for listening to this episode of At the Water's Edge. Please visit our website for more storytelling experiences.